Beloved radio friends, greetings in the Savior's precious name, with a welcome to the broadcast today, and our continued exposition of the second chapter in the Philippian Epistle that was written by Paul the Apostle, written to the Gentiles and the Philippian saints in particular. We have chiefly emphasized that in chapter 2, we see Christ Himself as He lived upon the earth, the lowly servant of God, as the perfect pattern for every believer. As we begin our study today in verse 17 of this chapter and go down to the end, there are three other persons that are brought to our attention. They were three wonderful witnesses for the Lord, who also present an example for we who are believers to emulate. First, there is Paul himself, the beloved apostle who wrote the epistle, as you may read in verses 17 and 18. Then we shall find there is Timothy, or Timotheus, as we read in verses 19 through 24. Then there is a saint by the name of Epaphroditus, another companion of Paul, as we can read in verses 25 through 30. First, may we refer to the apostle himself. In verses 17 and 18, though the dear apostle was facing the threat of execution by wicked Nero, the emperor of Rome, that blessed person who was the prisoner of the Lord, he expresses his joy in being able to sacrifice his life for the sake of his fellow believers at Philippi. The loving ministrations of faith in the gospel toward Paul by those Philippian saints made him willing to lay down his life for them as a sacrifice. You that may have carefully read the epistle know that in chapter 4, that which provoked the letter was a gift coming from the Philippian believers to meet the needs of the beloved apostle who was in prison. But again and again, they had been faithful ministering to his need, and those loving ministrations in the fellowship of the gospel caused Paul to be willing to pour out his life as a sacrifice for their sake. What an example, and what an encouraging example is Paul. God grant that we shall follow in his steps. Our second example is Timothy, in verses 19 through 24. He is the next witness for us to be like. Note verse 20, what Paul says about him. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You find from the context there were others who were seeking their own interests, who were not serving the Lord, nor glorifying Christ, but serving themselves. But Paul's spiritual son Timothy was a blessed exception to the Christians who were self-seeking and who were concerned about their own interests in life. Timothy was in perfect and full fellowship with Paul the Apostle. He was like-minded. He proved himself completely and cared genuinely for the Philippian saints. They knew the proof of Timothy's faithfulness. And one thing stands forcefully before us. Paul and Timothy illustrate what it means to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, as Paul exhorted us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. My beloved, may I just say humbly, but emphatically, we Christians ought to be like Paul and Timothy. Even though Paul loved Timothy so greatly, found him such a comfort to him during his imprisonment, he was willing to send Timothy to the help of the Philippian saints, still hoping that he himself would see them very soon. But our third example is Epaphroditus, in verses 25 through 30. This servant of God also shows the mind of Christ. And note the character of this servant of God as Paul writes. He is my brother, my companion in labor, my fellow servant or fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Epaphroditus must have been a special messenger who had been sent by the Philippians to help Paul. Perhaps he had carried the gift for the apostle and to the apostle. But he undoubtedly brought that gift from them to the Lord's servant, a prisoner, the prisoner Paul in Rome. But will you please note how well Paul speaks of him? My brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier, as well as your messenger, and he ministered to my wants. My, how the dear great apostle Paul appreciated whatever was done for him by those who faithfully sought to help. But then we must go on, for there is more revealed about Epaphroditus in verses 26 and 27. Undoubtedly he was taken violently and seriously ill in the carrying out of this service, and for the work of Christ, says Paul, he was nigh unto death in verse 27. He did not think of his own life. How like the Lord Jesus Epaphroditus was in this fact. Forgetful of self. And certainly Paul was glad to be able to write, though he was violently and seriously ill, God had mercy upon him. The saints at Philippi had undoubtedly heard of the dangerous illness. They were greatly grieved, and in like manner, Epaphroditus was greatly distressed when they had heard of his illness. So Paul sends him back to Philippi that the saints may rejoice and be less sorrowful. Oh, may I point out, what mutual love and feelings prevail between these servants of God and these saints of God. Can I repeat it again? Would to God he was present today among the saints at Philippi, with Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, were welded together in lowliness of mind and love and humility. And what a joy it was to see such a testimony. And thus we can rejoice they manifested the Christ-likeness of the Savior who was their pattern. So we may indeed thank God for these experiences of Paul and Timothy and of Epaphroditus, all showing they possess the mind of Christ. Remember Paul's exhortation in chapter 2 and verse 5? Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Certainly we can see the testimony of these three men, Paul, Timotheus, Epaphroditus, manifested the mind of Christ. Oh, that all of us possessed, as believers, the same mind as they did today. Christ, only Christ, in his humility and lowly service is a pattern. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus were seeking to follow his steps. Christ was their pattern for Christian experience. My fellow believer, I humbly but earnestly pray that this will be true for you and me. But my unsaved friend who may be listening, perhaps you may have been, and I know that you could be, disappointed by some Christians and their failure to be like Christ. May I advise you, my friend, if unsaved, don't place your eyes upon them. The perfect pattern for you to look at, the perfect man for you to look carefully at, is Christ. He alone is such. And please let me ask you, who went to the death of the cross to save you? Not Paul, not Timothy, not Epaphroditus, great as they were, nor any other Christian. And I say frankly, it is not what you think of Christians that is the important matter for you to consider, but what do you think of Christ? If all Christians are a disappointment and were to be, Christ is never that. Thank God if you may know some Christians you can commend, but remember, there is no Christian, not even the best one, who could ever save you. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, wrote the Apostle Peter. Now may I state bluntly, no matter whom you look to, Peter cannot save you. The Pope cannot save you. The Bishop cannot save you. The priest cannot save you. The preacher cannot save you. The elder cannot save you. The deacon cannot save you. The Sunday school teacher cannot save you. If they are true to God's word, each one should tell you Christ is the only one who can save you. Yes, even Buddha cannot save. Mohammed cannot save. Confucius cannot save. Name every religious leader. There's only one Savior, and He is a perfect Savior. All of the rest of us are not perfect. But my friend, may I urge you to make sure that you come to Christ. Let me quote the Word of God again. For salvation, you are positively, absolutely shut up, completely isolated, to take Christ. Here are the words of Peter again. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Name all the names you wish. None of them can save you. Only Christ. And I invite you, my unsaved listener, will you not come to Christ? He has made a promise that He will not fail to keep. If you're wondering if He will receive you, then listen to these words that He said. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. There you have the assurance if you come to Christ, He'll never turn you away. All I can say and advise to do is this. Why not try it? Come today. O beloved and blessed Father, we thank Thee for the chapter we have covered, the second chapter of the Philippian Epistle, where we have seen Christ, the perfect example, as well as the perfect Savior. And we thank Thee for those servants, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, whom we can be like to. But we pray for our dear friends that all of us who are saved will seek to be like Christ. And our sinner friends come to Christ today in His worthy name. Amen.